The Startup Spotlight is powered by The Business Show, Africa's biggest and most successful business event. Grow, learn, connect, be inspired, and get ahead. Register for free at thebusinessshow.co.za.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, for decades, one player has dominated the car valuation industry in South Africa. It set the price benchmarks for every used vehicle sold, financed, or insured. But I read that a bold new challenger is planning on rewriting the rules. Credo Mobility is offering open access vehicle values for free. And it says it wants to disrupt a 65-year-old monopoly and also give dealers, banks and consumers what it terms a fairer deal. The founder of the company and the chief executive officer is Cribben Reddy. And let's explore what his shakeup really means for the industry. Cribben, a very warm welcome. Let's cut straight to it. Who's the one player you're referring to?
So the big player in this space is TransUnion, which is obviously a multinational, but to your earlier point, they've been in the country for around 65 years.
So what's the actual harm then in having a single standardized valuation source? Doesn't it make things easier?
Look, it does make things easier if the market is static. So what's happened over the last few years, probably over the last decade, is that the market in nature has become more dynamic. Data sources have become readily available. The change in the market, I mean, you'll see now as well with the entrance of Chinese vehicles and Chinese brands as an example, The buying behavior and buying profile of consumers have changed. And it becomes a challenge when you have a static source supplying all areas of the ecosystem. So everything from banking to insurance companies to the dealer, et cetera, and largely operating on a depreciating model. A vehicle does depreciate, but it's not truly reflective of the current trading condition. So a dealer, as an example, cares less about what the vehicle's going to depreciate at versus what margin he can make. And there's lots of nuances in terms of the challenges that comes about if you only have one source of data. It's also not truly fair to the consumer, in terms of that.
So let's talk about fairness to the consumer in just a moment. But you'll concede that depreciation within this paradigm is still critical, though.
Absolutely. It's more critical, though, for probably banks and insurers who are more forward-looking. And they probably want to understand in a future state, what the depreciation of that vehicle would be in terms of recovery. So if it's a bank, it's more around at the point of repossession or collection. And there they're certainly looking at what the depreciated value is. It's the same at an insurance level. But from a dealership and consumer perspective, you almost don't want to be hard done by, especially from a consumer perspective, if your vehicle is worth more and on a particular day or period is trading. And we saw that come through during COVID as an example, where there was a shortage on new vehicles, which created a ripple effect of, high demand on used vehicles and, in effect, a rise in used vehicle pricing. And what that caused was is that, if you were a consumer at that time and your vehicle was written off, as an example, you would not have been able to replace your vehicle based on the value that the insurer had insured it, because it was based on a depreciating model. So there's definitely a place for it. But I think the point we're making is that, there's other nuances that have to be considered as well.
So how does your model work?
So we take a view on real-time data, data that's actively being used in the market to advertise a vehicle. So you'd have data that's sitting, as an example, on an Autotrader or a Cars.co.za or other advertising platforms. So it's one of the feed sources into our model that gives us an indication of true availability, true supply, true demand, true availability of stock, et cetera. And, the reality on having a depreciated model, which is based on a national average, it also doesn't cater for nuances like region, as an example. We know vehicles might buy, might trade, higher or lower than the national average based on region. So KZN versus Western Cape, color of a vehicle, plays a role into supply and demand. Average mileages, are changing, especially after COVID, in terms of people's driving behavior and how often they use their vehicles, et cetera. So there's a lot of dynamics in the real term and based on real-time data. Also, our frequency in terms of data collection. So we're not, because the entire business is a digital business, we're not bound by any particular frequency of having to collect data, on a monthly basis and then only producing an output on a monthly basis, as an example. It could change as often as daily or weekly.
No one's arguing with the importance of real-time data, but your challenge will be to ensure that yours is more accurate than the legacy sources, surely.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, Jeremy, our positioning is not that the market needs to switch from one provider necessarily to another. I think what we're saying is that there should be more than one source and more than one reference point. And if you look at, you know, some examples of where this has happened, if you take the banking sector as an example, you know, pre-1994, there was only one credit bureau in the country, and all banks, you know, used a single source of credit data to inform their own pricing and risk models, etc. Today, no bank uses a single bureau. They've either gone, you know, dual or multi-bureau. And it's the same, you know, from a consumer perspective. If you want an insurance quote is an example. You know, you don't just go with one quote. You've got the freedom and opportunity to shop around, compare multiple quotes. And I think our positioning is that is not that, you know, it's a switch necessarily from one to the other. There really is no silver bullet in this scenario. But I think it's more just the options of having more than one reference point.
So, Cribben, let's talk about your business model. Is there some risk in offering valuation data for free? I'm interested to know how you plan to make money or if this is just a loss leader strategy.
Yeah, look. It is truly, there is loss leader, but it is truly around just opening up the market a bit and creating some disruption around a particular service. But the valuation service in our world is one of a few products that we've got in the market. So we do a digital identity verification. We do a full, you know, history of verification on a vehicle. We've got a finance pre-qualification. So it's more than one product that we have in our stable. And I think we, you know, the reality, we saw this as a strategic opportunity to use something that needs to be disrupted and actually just make it open source and, you know, free usage to the market.
But there's nothing, for instance, to stop TransUnion from slashing prices and shutting you out of the market, surely?
Absolutely. Look, I would hope that the different players look at their businesses differently. The competition is actually a good thing. And you know, The reality is the output of it is that the customer, whether it's the consumer or the dealer or the industry at large, gets a better offering. Whether it speeds up innovation or it cuts prices, you spot on, they could do that. We don't, you know, necessarily, we haven't built a business just on the one product, but the market's big enough. My sense is that the market's big enough. There's more, there's enough to go around. One of their challenges would obviously be cannibalization of their own revenue. So we are sort of, you know, hedging our bets on that a bit. That it is difficult. There's no real growth in that space for them if they just cut prices.
And so far, industry feedback has been what?
Look, there's been high demand. We've got a few hundred dealers that have taken on the free service and obviously then taken on other services of ours in the last while since we've launched it. There's high demand as well from banks and insurers. There's obviously, you know, the lead time and the nuances of actually adopting a second reference. I think, you know, our positioning right now is not that we think the entire market's going to rush in to just take products from us, but what it certainly does is it almost halts the status quo and, you know, this decision making as an example, and it makes even the biggest banks in the country sort of, you know, raise an eyebrow just to see what's going on and is there an alternative. And right now it's purely just about engagement and, you know, engagement at the right levels. And if it gives us that, you know, I think we're happy to for that as a starting point. But I think overall, the demand and the level of engagement and sort of excitement about an alternative is definitely being all positive.
Well, I'll be the first to admit that I do love a good market disruption story. Credo founder and chief executive officer, Cribben Reddy, thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.